Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
Are you dealing with circumstances that are overwhelming in your life? Do you wonder where to turn or what to do next? Often it's an adjustment of your perspective, and next we're going to discover who God is. Understanding God with Paul Chappell, next on Daily in the Word. Let your understanding of Him change your perspective. It has been said, if you have a small God, you have big problems. But if you have a big God, you have small problems. So often in life, our perspective of God changes everything in our life. And if this broadcast comes to you in the midst of overwhelming obstacles and trials in life, then a clearer understanding of who God is in your life will radically change your perspective and give you strength and grace to go forward. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This is a daily radio program that features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. You can find out more about Daily in the Word when you visit dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. We're studying a series entitled Understanding God. If you'd like to listen to past programs, or if you'd like to refer a friend to dailyintheword.org, you can listen to programs or subscribe to the free podcast. All of it is at dailyintheword.org. But now, let's dive into understanding God. We begin today in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 10, understanding the love of God. Here's Paul Chappell.
As our society drifts farther and farther away from God, it is not surprising that many Americans have become very skeptical about the subject of love. It is not surprising that many Americans today are almost coming to the place where they're saying, I'm not sure it's possible to really have a loving relationship in this world. And the fact of the matter is that many surveys are telling us today that with respect to marriage, that many couples are remaining married more out of convenience than out of love. They're staying together not because of love as a bond, but convenience as a bond for staying together in marriage. In fact, we see so many signs in our society of a society that really understands not what love is all about. My wife and I this past week traveled over to the city of Las Vegas, Nevada, where I was preaching a revival meeting for 3 days and three nights. And as we were traveling to the church, we drove by something that we had to take a double look to really believe if it was true. It was a drive-through wedding chapel. Now, I knew they had wedding chapels over there, but I'd never heard of a drive-through where you literally drove through, put the paperwork in the tube, shoved it in the tube, the guy signed it on the other side, you said the vows literally over the microphone, and then they slid the thing back. And I suppose if things don't work out after a week or two, you can drive back to the drive-thru chapel for a refund, but I'm not sure. But that's about how cheap it's gotten in this day in which we live. One rock song said years ago, what's love got to do with it anyways, you see? And that's the way this society approaches relationship. Marriages today are not always the loving institutions that God designed them to be. We see this evidenced in family life as well. Some are very skeptical of family love and would suggest that real love and support is not to be found so much in the family. It's out there in a village somewhere or in the community somewhere. And so we have the books like It Takes a Village. And I suppose if your family life is like the author's, maybe it does take a village to find love. I'm not sure. But God says no. God says you can have love in your family. You can have love in your heart. You can have love in your life if you know me, because I am love. I heard about an uncle who was talking to a young groom. He went to the boy. He said, "Congratulations, my boy." He said, "I'm sure you'll look back and remember this day as the happiest day of your life." To which the groom said, "But uncle, I'm not getting married until tomorrow." To which the uncle said, "I know." And that seems to be the way we kind of approach things in this day in which we live. Perhaps the reason we are so unsure about love, perhaps the reason we express and receive so little genuine love today, is because we do not know God like we should. We do not know, we do not experience the love of God like we should. You see, one of the first characteristics we must understand as we endeavor to understand God this summer is we need to understand that He is a God of love. In fact, there are three comprehensive statements in 1 John about God. Three statements that really describe His nature. The first statement is found in the first chapter, which says He is light. And then we come to a statement that says God is spirit. And then we come to this statement which says, God is love. God does not attain love. He does not have to try to maintain love. Love is the structure of His being. He is love. And yet His love does not contradict His holiness or truth. In fact, His love is subordinate to His nature of truth. And we see that there is no contradiction in the various characteristics and attributes of our God. I want you to notice with me this morning some very great truths related to the love of God. First of all, in our outline this morning, we see in the Scriptures that God's love is revealed. He reveals His love to us. The Bible says here in verse number 8, He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. You see, He reveals His love in His Word today. Someone says, "Well, I don't see the love of God. I don't feel the love of God." Have you read your Bible this week? Say, "Well, I've been busy doing a lot of other things." Well, I want to tell you something. If you'll study the Scriptures, you'll find that in the Scriptures, over and over again, God says in so many words, "I love you." The Bible says in Ephesians 5 and verse 2, "And walk in love, even as Christ also loved us." Over and over again, we see the love of God in this book. And we hear God telling us that He loves us. And my friend, I want you to hear this morning this message. God loves you. And this Bible is the revelation of the love of God. It is His love letter to a lost and dying world. I remember when I was in Bible college and we came to the summer before my wife and I would get married. We had a Christmas wedding, and so we decided, you go up to San Jose where your folks were from and you work there, and I'll stay down here and I'll work and we'll try to save money and get ready for getting married and so forth. And all that seemed like the longest summer of my entire life. You know, we were separated by all those miles. And I remember coming onto the campus of the Bible college. We had a kind of a hallway with mailboxes all the way down the hallway. Every day after work, I'd come to that postal area, and I'd walk, and as I'd walk down the hallway, I'd start sniffing. Say, "What were you smelling for?" "Perfume." My wife always put a little perfume on those love letters, and I'd be sniffing for that perfume. And then I'd be looking for the number, and I'd get that letter open, and I'd open that letter, and oh, I tell you, I was so insecure about that relationship at that time. I wanted to make sure everything was going along just right. Everything was just fine, you know. And I know some of you fellas are, "I never was insecure about my relationship. She's lucky to have me." Well, you know. You can wake up as soon as the sermon's over, but I'll go ahead and keep preaching. But boy, I wanted to read those letters, and I couldn't wait till that part. Normally towards the end, she'd say, I love you. Or she'd say some other compliment and just let me know she's looking forward to seeing me and how much she cared for me. And you know, the fact of the matter is that those love letters were such an encouragement to me. But I find today in my Christian life, the Bible is such an encouragement to me. Because I find in this book, God telling me over and over again, I love you. I'm glad that God reveals His love to you and to me. He reveals it in His Word. And my friend, He revealed it through His Son, Jesus Christ. You see, one person has defined the word love as meeting the needs of another that that person cannot meet for themselves. And when we have the ability to meet someone's need in an expression of love, it is like the love of God when He saw us who could not save ourselves, who were desperately lost and in our sin, and He sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sin. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God's love is revealed in His Word, and it is revealed through His Son. But notice secondly this morning, God's love is not only a revealed love, God's love is a redemptive love. It is an active love. It is a redemptive love. Notice the Bible says in verse 9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God's love is redemptive, and His love, first of all, redeems us from sin. His love redeems us from sin. Sometimes we think about the little Coke bottles that say redemption value, 5 cents. And you take them in and you get your 5 cents. You redeem that bottle. And God has placed upon us a love. He has placed upon us a value through His Son. He redeems us through His Son. Romans 5 and verse 8 says, but God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God said, even though I saw your sin before they were ever committed, He said, even though you were in a sinful state, yet I love you and I gave my Son to die for your sin. In fact, notice what verse 10 says. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us. Have you ever stopped to consider the fact that God is the prime mover in salvation? It is not man seeking God today. It's not that everyone in this planet loves and worships God and wants to know His Son, Jesus Christ. In fact, it's just the opposite. God says, it's not that you were looking for me. It's that I was looking for you. And thank God that whether it's through a friend or whether someone invited you to church today, whatever the means that was used, your life has been touched today by the love of God who wants you to know what His Son did for you. And we see His love redeems us from sin. You see, Adam was not seeking God in the garden after he had sinned. In fact, Adam was hiding from God. And Noah's generation was not seeking God. Every thought in their mind was only evil continuously. They were not seeking God. And my friends, today in America, by and large, people are not seeking God today. But you know what? He's still seeking us, isn't He? He's still sending the good news out. He's still giving people the chance to repent and come and be saved. Jesus Christ is long-suffering today, and He is redeeming men and women even at this moment from their sin. It is not that we love Him so much as a human race, but He loves us. He is the prime mover in salvation. And this verse tells us in verse number 10 that He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The word propitiation means the payment or the redemption of our sins. And when we see the word propitiation, we are reminded of the mercy seat in the Old Testament. For there, atop of the Ark of the Covenant, was that mercy seat overlaid with gold. And there on the Day of Atonement, the high priest Aaron would sprinkle the blood. And the sprinkling of that blood was the sprinkling that would cause the forgiveness or the atonement for the sin of all of the children of Israel. And one day, my friend, some 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ became our mercy seat. And there on the cross, when He was suspended between this earth and heaven, As his blood was shed, Jesus Christ became our mercy seat so that we could have the covering of our sins, so that we could have the opportunity to enter into a loving relationship with God. You see, God who is love is first of all light. Therefore, any thought of him being soft or indulgent towards sin must be put away. And so in order for God's love and for God's righteousness to go along hand in hand, in order that there would be no contradiction, there had to be a payment for sin, because God does love us, but he is a righteous God. And somehow for us to have a relationship with God, there had to be a covering for sin. And so Jesus Christ said, I'll be the covering. Jesus Christ voluntarily left heaven's glory, and he voluntarily walked up Golgotha's hill. And though he could have called 10,000 angels and said, take me away from this scene, I'm not going to stay and suffer this humiliation and pain. Yet, he died alone, voluntarily, in a substitutionary death for you and for me on that day. That's what propitiation is all about. He paid for our sin on that day. We used to sing a song when I was a little boy growing up, what can wash away my sin? And the chorus said, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. And so here we see that his love is subordinate to his righteousness. Turn, if you would, over to Romans chapter 3 for a moment. Hold your place in 1 John. And let's just see a correlation here in Romans chapter 3 for a moment. And verse number 25. For here we see again God's redemption for sin. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now watch this, verse 25. Whom God, remember God is a God of love, but he's also a God of light. So God hath set forth Jesus to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. God set forth his Son to become the propitiation, to become the payment for our sin, so that God's righteous demand could be met while he simultaneously expressed his love for you and for me. What a tremendous blessing to realize that God would love us that much. And what a blessing to see that God redeems men and women from their sin. My friend, it doesn't matter where you've been, and it doesn't matter what you've done. God loves you. And Jesus died for you. He redeems us from sin. And then we see, secondly, that he redeems us for a new purpose in life. Notice the Bible says in verse 9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. He says, I want you to live now and forever through me. I want my life to be the evidence of God in your life. And you and I have the opportunity to have a new purpose through Jesus Christ, living through him. The Bible says in 1 John 3 and verse number 1 that we are called to be the sons of God. And as the sons of God, once we are saved or born again, we become the sons of God. Now we have the opportunity not to live our life, but to allow his life to be lived through us, Galatians 2:20. And here we know that Jesus Christ is allowing us to live his life through us. And that can happen if you're born again. That can happen if Jesus Christ has redeemed you. And you have the opportunity to allow his life to flow through your life. And so God's love is revealed, and it's revealed in his word, and it's revealed through his Son. And then God's love is redemptive. Jesus Christ pays for our sins, and he gives us a new life that we might live for him. But I want you to see, thirdly, this morning, God's love is reassuring. God's love is reassuring. Now, you know, it really doesn't matter how long you've been married. It doesn't matter how long you've known a loved one. Everybody likes to be reassured of love. In fact, every once in a while I'll talk to a man about a marriage situation, and he'll say, good night, Pastor. I mean, I told her I loved her 17 years ago and it hasn't changed since then. What's the problem? The day we got married, I told her I love her. And sometimes we don't realize that our wives would like to hear it more than maybe once a decade. Sometimes a guy might say, well, you know, I bought her a washing machine, I bought her an ironing board and an ironing board. What else does this lady want anyways? Well, she'd like you to have brains to begin with. That would be a nice start. But you know, fellas, sometimes we're a little slow learning on that. But everybody likes to know, hey, you're appreciated. Hey, I love you. Thank you for being a blessing. Happy anniversary. Some of you guys are thinking, when is my anniversary? When is it? But aren't you glad that God reassures us of His love? God's love is reassuring. Now, I want you to see three things about the reassuring aspects of His love. First of all, His love is our foundation for life. Verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. The word dwell means to abide in spiritual oneness. And what a blessing it is to build our relationship on this foundation. God is in me. If God is in me as a Christian, and He is by His indwelling Spirit, and if God is in your spouse as a Christian, and He is as she receives Christ, then there's a foundation in that family. There is a foundation of love in that family because God who is in us is love. And through God, we can love. Why? Because the fruit of the Spirit is love. There is never a time when a Christian should not be able to love another person so long as they are being controlled and filled by the Holy Spirit of God. Because the fruit of the Spirit is love. You may not agree with that Christian. You may not particularly care for everything that Christian does, but you can love them through the Holy Spirit of God. His love is our foundation. Ephesians 3 and verse 17 says, with Christ in our hearts, we can be rooted and grounded in love. And so His love becomes a reassuring foundation in our lives and in our relationships. And then notice, secondly, His love removes fear. His love removes fear. The Bible says in verse 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. You see, in verses 17 and 18, we see that His love removes fear. Why? Because God is on our side. He is not looking for an opportunity to condemn. Rather, He is looking for an opportunity to forgive and to present us faultless before the Father in heaven. And perfect love, God's perfect love, casts out fear. He doesn't want us to live with the fear of judgment. He wants us to live with the joy of knowing that one day we will see Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible says in Romans 8:31, if God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:35, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Can any of these things separate us from the love of Christ? Romans 8:37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. God says it doesn't matter what you go through in this life, and it doesn't matter what you think will happen. It matters that you know me, because through this life and when you see me in heaven, based upon my love, there is no need to fear. I have forgiven your sins. I have a purpose for your life. And His love removes all fear. You know, G. Campbell Morgan was a great evangelist of yesteryear and a tremendous theologian. One day he was visiting some ladies in a convalescent hospital and just reading through Scripture to them. And as he was reading to the ladies, he came to a part of the Scriptures in Matthew 28 where it says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the earth. And he said to the ladies, he said, isn't that a wonderful promise? Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. To which one lady said, no, it is a wonderful reality.
Well, you've been listening to Daily in the Word and the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College. Understanding God begins really with knowing God, having a relationship with Him. So many people have a religion or a religious belief, but they don't have a relationship with the true and living God. And friend, that relationship is found only through Jesus Christ. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, we would encourage you to come to Him, to let go of your works, your own goodness, your own religious structures, and to place your faith in Christ alone as your Savior. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The Bible says, in answer to the question, "What must I do to be saved?" the answer is simple: believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, if you've not made that decision, we would encourage you to make that decision today. If you have questions about receiving Christ, or if you'd like to find out more about our ministry and how we can serve you, we'd love to hear from you. You can call us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. Also, before we wrap up today's edition of Daily in the Word, I want to invite you again to visit us at dailyintheword.org. On the website, you'll find lots of resources to help you in your spiritual growth. First, you can subscribe to the Daily in the Word podcast and listen to this program at your convenience on the go. You can refer a friend to Daily in the Word. You can subscribe to the free Daily in the Word devotional in your email box every day. You'll be able to read through the Bible in a year, as well as enjoy an encouraging word of devotion from Dr. Chappell. Also, I want to encourage you to take a look at Dr. Chappell's newest book. It's entitled The Burden Bearer. It's a beautiful hardback book, about 180 pages in length, that will help you answer the question, who is carrying your load? You'll discover a beautiful allegory, wonderfully written, powerfully applied from God's Word. Once again, The Burden Bearer. It's the kind of book that after you read it, you're going to want everybody you know to read The Burden Bearer. You can find out more about it at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Thanks so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.